Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
It is Chuck and Winkler. With no Winkler, Ryan Horvath filling in today for Bart. He'll be back tomorrow. He's in his day off today for some load management. Chuck Freeman is here. We'll be with you guys until 10 a.m. Then Bill Michaels takes over until 2. Then it's the Wendy's Big Show 2 to 6 today. Wouldn't it be a sports talk radio show in Wisconsin if we didn't talk a little Aaron Rodgers? He did an interview with Mike Silver, and it looks like already some issues in Green Bay at the line of scrimmage. As Rodgers doesn't feel the same freedom he's had for the past 11 years, he tells Mike Silver. Not a humble brag, but it's just a fact that it's just something that you don't want to turn off. You know, 11 years, something that you build up. So obviously, not going to have the same type of freedom to call audibles and change the plays at the line of scrimmage. Aaron Rodgers might not be the biggest fan in Matt LaFleur's new system. Chuck, you freaking out or nothing there?
Oh, no, no. He's at it again already. Aaron, is he? I mean, he's already blasting the coaching staff.
Well, I was going to say there's great rivalries in sports, right? You got Ali and Frazier, you know, you got this and that. You got Rocky and Apollo Creed and Rocky and Drago. And then you have Mike Florio and the people of Pro Football Talk against Aaron Rodgers. So Florio loved breaking this story. I think his headline on Twitter was like, already drama in Green Bay. If you had the over or under of 3.5 weeks of camp before Rodgers says anything about changing plays at the line of scrimmage. Here you go. So 799-1250.
But was it him, though? Was it him or was it the eyebrow? What's his name? Mike Silver.
It was him and Silver, which Silver's not the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan either. And I think it all goes back to Rodgers blew him off on the field one time and Silver was like holding his hands up. The picture's been all over social media. Yeah, he just told Silver, you know, 11 years, man, that's you learn a lot at the line of scrimmage. I mean, that's where Rodgers is at his best. Getting people to jump off for the false start or, you know, for the getting too many men on the field, taking shots downfield, the free plays. Like, that's where Rodgers has kind of made his bones. And under LaFleur's new system, might not be able to have the same type of freedom of changing the plays.
We'll see. You know, there's a lot going on here. With Aaron, I think when you said rivalries, thought you were going to say Aaron and whoever the coach is for the Green Bay Packers.
That's also true.
I mean, is this starting? But, I mean, we'll find out more. I mean, there could be not a lot to that at all. But Aaron is going to have to he will have freedom to change plays at the line of scrimmage. All quarterbacks do, especially veteran quarterbacks. So right now it's coming like, well, Aaron can't run any plays on his own or he can't do things. You want a quarterback to be able to change plays at the line of scrimmage. He's got to be able to read the defense and change out of them. If a quarterback can't change out of a plays at the line of scrimmage, what good is he going to do? He's got that's the brilliance of a guy like Rodgers changing up, you know, calling audibles and you know finding creative ways to make something when the defense is making adjustments on you.
Right, and I'm sure he'll have that same type of freedom. But I would say probably maybe like 30-40% of the time you see something in the defense and you change the play at the line of scrimmage like every other quarterback in the league. I think. Where LaFleur's coming from, and if you get this job and you're a coordinator or a new head coach and you hear the reports with the Mike McCarthy firing last year of Rodgers changing the play at the line of scrimmage every single time, like, hey, I don't want to run the ball here. Let's go play action. Let's take this shot downfield. I think that's more what you're worried about, him having too much freedom. But he has to have some freedom, right, as the quarterback of an offense.
Yeah. I think the Packers will, you know, it's a growing year.
Right.
Just like McCarthy's first year.
Well, you say it's a growing year. I say 12 wins.
Yeah, we got a little bet on that. That's if they win 12 games, LaFleur will be coach of the year in the NFL.
Oh, no doubt.
He'll be coach of the year.
Right, unless the Browns win 14.
And then people will say, too, why did they wait so long to make the change from McCarthy? If he wins, I mean, Mike McCarthy is the last guy who wants the Packers to win 12 games next year, because it's going to look like, well, he was the reason why that they have missed the playoffs when, you know, they had a bunch of injuries and all that and a few other things that were going on there with the Green Bay Packers. But I don't see it. I see, like I told you before, I think 9 wins with these guys, but they're going to have to stay healthy. They're going to have to be a healthy team. And McCarthy did whatever they could. He changed practice times around. He had practices on Saturdays instead of Fridays, and now LaFleur is going to switch that around. They're going to have days off Saturdays before games, which I think is the way to go. I could never understand why McCarthy would practice with his guys the day before a Sunday game. Never could understand that thing. But, you know, I mean, we don't know anything about LaFleur as a coach.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. So we don't, it's going to take us 2 years till we get a grasp, just like McCarthy. With McCarthy, after that first year when he went 8-8, I was doing sports talk in Green Bay. We didn't know a lot about him. We couldn't tell. Sure, you knew a few things. We knew he liked to pass the ball.
I remember being pissed about the hiring. Who the hell is this guy?
Yes, a lot of people were, you know. And LaFleur, I don't know if everybody's on board with that hiring. Because they don't know him. We don't know him. I think the last hire that people were on board with was probably Mike Holmgren, because he was coming over as an offensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers, who had won multiple Super Bowls and had the best quarterback in the league at the time in Joe Montana, or was coming. You know, Montana was he had been past his peak a little bit, but he was a great quarterback in the 80s, and Holmgren was his offensive coordinator. So when they hired a Holmgren, we were all good with that, considering the bad run of coaches the Packers had had. But since then, I think every hire the Packers have done, it was like you had to hold your breath a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you definitely do with this one. Matt LaFleur, we were all talking Josh McDaniels, Adam Gase, and the Packers end up with Matt LaFleur. One thing that you said is, I mean, we disagree. I think this is a 12-win season at least. You think it's a 9-win kind of take your bumps and bruises season, but you brought up the health. The team has to stay healthy. So 799-1250, and Chuck, that's the question that I've kind of wanted to ask you, because another rumor or whatnot is just that Aaron Rodgers at times has looked a little bit uncomfortable as he's coming off another injury-riddled season. What are you more concerned with this season? Okay, Aaron Rodgers buying into LaFleur's system or Aaron Rodgers staying healthy for an entire season? Like, what scares you more?
Well, I think Aaron, we're seeing him break down a little bit last couple of seasons. So I think Aaron. That's why you have to have a veteran backup quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers, to just in case he's got to miss some downs, some plays, some quarters,
so maybe some games. You're more worried about him staying healthy than him actually buying into the system and checking out of audibles.
Yeah,
I think
Aaron is such a smart, he's a good quarterback. But the injuries, all right, is that offensive line going to be able to protect him to stay healthy? I think Aaron has got to be able to stay healthy. And he had been healthy, relatively healthy, for most of his career. Now, the last couple of years, we've seen injuries take their tolls on him. He's played through injuries in the past. He has played through injuries in the past. But, some of these injuries are keeping him off the field now. I just hope that's not a long-term thing with him. And, he's getting older. Injuries are going to take his toll on him more so now than they were. An ankle injury now at 35, 36 is going to affect him more than when he was 27.
And that's the scariest part about Aaron Rodgers' game. And you're not going to hear any knocks on Aaron Rodgers from me, obviously. I'm the biggest Aaron Rodgers apologist probably in the state of Wisconsin, maybe on the entire planet outside of guys like Chris Sims, who also love him. But that's what scares me, because the way that Rodgers plays the game of football, he doesn't just drop back in a 3-step, 5-step drop. He's not Tom Brady, who's just going to dink and dunk his way down the field. He's not Phillip Rivers. He's not these quarterbacks who aren't mobile in their mid to late 30s. Aaron Rodgers still wants to play the game of football like he's Mike Vick, like he's Dak Prescott. He wants to get out of the pocket. He wants to buy time. That's when he's at his best. But the way that he plays, unfortunately, he takes more hits than most quarterbacks. So if you look at, like, I always feel bad for the offensive line, because if you look at Pro Football Focus, and you might be into stuff like that, you might not be into the sabermetrics of the game and whatnot, but the Packers' offensive line has been solid.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers' entire tenure in Green Bay, the reason he takes sacks and he gets hit so much, it's always outside of the pocket. Him trying to buy time, him looking for the big play rather than just checking down.
And so that's what scares me the most, is I feel he needs to change the way that he plays the game of football, and I think that's what LaFleur is going to try to do. He's going to try to, I keep saying it, there's no more days, the days of Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball 50 to 52 times, going 35 of 52 for 400 yards, those days should be over. Watch what the Saints do in their offense with Drew Brees since they've returned to the NFC Championship game. You're passing the ball 25 to 28 attempts a game, dropping back, you're using the running backs, multiple running backs, you know, they do it there with Ingram. I mean, they're stacked with offensive weapons.
But
I think
do the Packers have the running backs, though, for this?
I think they do. I think Aaron Jones is like a 12 to 15 carry guy, and I know people argue me with that, but you have Jamal Williams for the short yardage situations, for the tough yards, and then you have Aaron Jones who could bounce in between the tackles, so I think you kind of have the perfect fit with Rodgers. You disagree with me, I think, on that, right?
Yeah, I just think with Aaron, I think you might see he's going to have to put the team on his back. And
more than Drew Brees does, because you don't have a Kamara, you don't have a Michael Thomas.
Yeah. Aaron Jones, you know, I mean, we found out that he breaks down pretty easily. You know, do they have a running back there that can carry the load? I would like to see that run. We all would. But, you know, ultimately, he's got a wealth of receivers, man. If those guys turn out like we hope they're going to turn out, he's going to have a lot of weapons to throw to.
Does Aaron Jones break down easily, or was it just the system? Because I feel like if you're running Alvin Kamara or some of these smaller backs like Freeman in Atlanta, I feel like if you're running those guys, they can't get the ball in their hands 20 to 22 times. Like, look what the Bears do with Tariq Cohen, even. Like, they parted ways with Jordan Howard. I just feel like the day of, like, the Emmitt Smith, the Terrell Davis, like, there's not those type of running backs. There are, but they don't last very long. Like, there's worry right now in Los Angeles that Todd Gurley might be finished. He's not even 30 years old yet, and his career might be over because there's just not the bell cows anymore. There's not the guys that could carry the ball 25 to 30 times. I think the game's just changed.
Well, it has. And these running backs, their shelf life is done by the time they're late 20s sometimes. They're over. They've been in the league 4 or 5 years, and then you'll see a little downside of their career. And then they're done. I mean, look at Alexander.
Sean Alexander?
From the Seattle. They signed him to a big, he was a whole lot, big contract.
Yeah.
And he was finished the next year.
Well, and that's why guys are smart now. They know when to call it quits. Remember when Barry Sanders retired and everybody's like, man, he's young. He's not 30 years old yet. He's got six good years.
Sure.
But it's like, get out while you can.
Maybe he had a couple of left.
Because you feel it, though. You feel it when you're getting towards the end of your career. And that's why nobody drafts running backs high anymore. Like, if you have a stud like a Todd Gurley, obviously you reach. Or an Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley. But now, I'm focused on the offensive line. My theory is if you have the best offensive line in football, the five best offensive linemen, then you could really just stick anybody back there and he could be a 100-yard rusher. Like, even like C.J. Anderson, who's 50 pounds overweight, could rush for 100 yards. Let's get back out to the phone line, 799-1250. Let's go out to Burlington. We'll talk to Corey. Corey, what's up today, buddy?
Hey, Corey.
Good morning, guys. Oh, man, Ryan, I love you, but I think you're alone on the 12 win at least. So, I mean, you're talking, you could see 13 or 14 wins. Like, I think this team is a 9-win team, give or take one game, maybe even an 8-win team, give or take a game. Like, there's just so many question marks everywhere. I don't love anybody besides Rodgers and Devontae, who's like one hit away from retiring. I don't love our defense. I mean, we had guys that played well last year, like Blake Martinez and Fackrell, but somebody had to start. Somebody had to make those plays. Like, I just don't love anywhere. Jimmy Graham, is he on our team? If he is, fine. If he's not, fine. I don't really know. I don't really love him either. There's too many question marks for me to say, yeah, this is a playoff team.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham is back. He's back, but we'll see.
Expecting a big bounce back here.
He is.
Read the reports.
But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see if he's if he's got anything left in the tank. He was terrible last year.
So, Corey, you're not sold on any of these free agent pickups. It's just a big waste of money for everybody, though?
No, I don't know. I like that, and I love that we're making free agency moves finally, but there's still question marks, too. I mean, you know, unproven in our system and with a new coach, there's so many moving parts and with – I mean, I know it's the NFL and there's injuries everywhere, but it always seems like we're playing with guys we weren't planning on playing with
sure.
at the beginning of the year.
Just because they filled a couple of holes for pass rushers on defense, I mean, they could spring a couple of leaks in other holes, like the offensive line.
What's going on with, do we still have Wilkerson?
No, it doesn't look like he's going to be coming back. He got in some trouble in the offseason.
No, I do like the pickups, but I still think they're question marks right now with the Packers that I just can't jump all in right now. Anytime you have Rodgers, you're in it. You're in the mix. But yeah, I don't love anything else to jump all in right now. Sir,
thanks, Corey. I'll die on this 13-win.
13-win.
12-13 win. Oh, hill man. By myself, I guess. I'm with it. I mean,
what do you have them losing to, Harvey?
Maybe I can't. You know that's the worst thing in sports radio. I can't look at that schedule and circle wins and circle losses.
But you got 12 wins.
I do. I have 12 wins. I really do. Because, okay, I told everybody last year when the Bears made the move for Khalil Mack, I said, they just won the NFC North. They guaranteed themselves at least 10 wins. And everybody said, you're crazy. They gave up way too much. Look at the draft picks. Khalil Mack doesn't make one guy doesn't make a difference. I just feel like Aaron Rodgers last season took a lot of criticism. We know he loves playing with that chip on his shoulder. Maybe he needed that. He's also getting towards the end of his career. He knows that this is going to be a 3 to 4 year window where he could win a Super Bowl. It's probably his last chance, and this is probably going to be his best chance. I think Davante Adams is the best wide receiver in the league. Corey made a great point, though. Every time he takes a hit, I'm scared. The fact that he's missed a couple practices already, and we don't know the injury, I'm a little scared. But yeah, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, man. I'm all in on the running game.
Do you think they're winning opening night against the Bears?
I do, and I think the pass rushers are going to be just... I just feel like if at least like one to two guys get you 10 sacks, yeah, and you don't have to worry about Fackrell.
So you actually think they're better than the Bears in the division?
I do, and you want to know what I'm waiting for, and I think the biggest surprise in the NFL, I think he's going to a Pro Bowl in his rookie year. I'm a big Darnell Savage fan already. I love the draft pick. I love the secondary. I think finally, like, what happens now is
how about
guys,
Kevin King?
Well, that's where I was going. So now guys like Kevin King, who have been injury-riddled and like, he never had, that job was never really going anywhere for Kevin King because nobody was replacing him because you didn't have anybody with the same amount of talent. So if he's injured and he could take plays off here and there, he didn't have to worry about his job. Now, I mean, he has to prove, A, that he could stay healthy. I hope that shoulder injury or whatever is finally healthy. But also, I mean, if he wants to get one more paycheck, at least one more paycheck in the NFL, he's going to have to stay on the field for at least 14 games, and he's going to have to make some plays. He's got one career interception against San Francisco 49ers.
When you were saying 12 wins, were you including preseason? Because Bart's got a tendency to do that.
No.
Because Bart will make a bet with me and say, well, I meant preseason, too.
No, I'm going like, 12 really? Regular season wins.
12 regular season wins. Okay.
Let's go out to West Bend, talk to Ken. Ken, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going today?
You weren't including family night in that, because that's a win. That's two wins.
I was going to say, that's two. You
okay.
Played, yeah.
Ryan, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'll tell you why. There's a number of things. The last caller, was as gray as the day starting off today, but it's going to get sunny. And with this team, I think what's exciting, and it hasn't been for the last 4 or 5 years, you've got basically a new defense. It actually has a lot more hope than it's had in years. Why? Because in addition to helping your pass rush, you've just helped your secondary. And that's why the secondary looks so bad. We haven't had a pass rush in quite a while. But the whole LaFleur, Rodgers thing, I don't believe everything that's ever reported. But I do think that LaFleur says, you know what? If I'm going to keep my guy healthy, my wide receiver's got to run much better routes, and I got to keep this guy protected. Why do you think they went out and got these offensive linemen they got? He doesn't want him doing what he used to do in the past. I truly believe that's what this offense is going to be predicated on. Quick passes, they're going to give him a lot of protection. You're going to see more two tight end sets to help out with the blocking. You're going to see more chip blocking than you've ever seen. They want to keep this guy upright. They realize the only way to the Super Bowl is through Aaron Rodgers. But putting all the weapons they put around him and in beefing up this offensive line, you're going to see a different team. And I don't think you're going to see Rodgers with that nonsense swagger that him and McCarthy had where they were going back and forth all the time. I think the first 5-6 games are going to dictate a lot. And don't be a bit surprised if the Packers don't blow the Bears out on opening night.
Well, they play 5 of the first 7 at home.
Yeah.
If they win opening night in Chicago, which I think is a long shot.
I don't think so.
Then they play 5 of the next 6 at home, man.
Why do you think that's a long shot? What is so great about Chicago? Yeah, their defense is Khalil Mack, but what's so great about them other than that?
Well, I mean, they made the playoffs last year. Packers didn't make the playoffs. The Bears got a better defense.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Their offense is average at best.
Well, I mean, they beat the Packers handily last year.
Yeah, but look at how injury-ridden the Packers were.
You've
got a different team this year with new hope, new optimism, new players.
Sure. On defense,
yep.
The Packers had the best. Packers still had the best player on the court, which is Aaron Rodgers. All right, next to Khalil Mack, So, the Packers have still the best quarterback, I think, in the field. But still, going down there and winning an opening night, they're going to be in an uphill battle.
I think it's going to be one of those punch-you-in-the-mouth type of games. And when the Packers start stretching the lead, then LaFleur is going to have to be a little nervous because, hey, the Bears are going to come after this guy, and they're going to try and put him on every opportunity they get, and very hard.
And then plus, so LaFleur is going to be coaching his first game.
Yeah, I think it's outstanding. I think the team's buying into his system.
Okay, well, I mean, that's a tough spot for a rookie coach. Opening night at Chicago, Thursday Night Football. That's a tough spot.
Got to have some optimism, boys.
Thanks for the call, Kenny. We appreciate it. 799-1250 if you want to jump in. Is anybody with me drinking the Kool-Aid? Will the Packers make the playoffs next year? The direct quote from Rodgers once again: I don't think you want me to turn off 11 years. He told this to Mike Silver. There's stuff that not many people in the league could do with that line. That's not a humble brag. It's just a fact. 799-1250 when we return here on Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM. The Fan.
And I feel like as far as what we have installed, I do feel good about that. We have a ton of concepts, and we've got enough reps during the course of the OTAs to feel a lot more comfortable with it. But we still need to iron out a couple of details, which I'm sure we'll get finished up this week.
That was Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers talking to the media. Brand new offense under Matt LaFleur's system. Ryan Horvath here, filling in for Bart Winkler today alongside Chuck Freeman. It's Chuck and Winkler with you for another 90 minutes, and then it's Bill Michaels from 10 to 2. We're talking Packers football, 799-1250, and I'm predicting a 12-win season. Freeman's not so high on the Packers this season. He thinks it's going to be a learning curve, a 9-win season.
And that's, a 9-win season, I mean,
we're used to the past 2 years.
Yeah, they haven't made the playoffs in the last 2 years. So, I mean, that's not the... I mean, below the standards that we've had around here, but this time was eventually going to come with the Packers, with the way the system is set up in the NFL, and the Packers haven't done. I mean, Ted Thompson. I mean, you can blame Ted for that. I mean, Ted had some horrible drafts, and we're kind of seeing the fruits of it right now, where Gutekunst had a dip in the free agency, and fortify this team a little bit better than Ted was able to build through the draft. Ted wanted to build through the draft, and he did a lousy job in a couple of years. And I think we know why. I mean, he wasn't ready. He was in that job probably 3 years too long because of his health. No way Ted should have been running the Green Bay Packers from what we know now. No way should have been running the Green Bay Packers.
Especially with what we know now.
Yes, exactly. We should not have been running the team. Okay? But... They put him in a tough spot, okay? And he was not putting, as a result, it caused stress in the other people in that organization trying to get the job done, picking up the slack for Ted. And now we're seeing where they are at this point. Bad draft picks, okay? Lack of free agency. A system that he believed in, but it was not working anymore. And now, just like Ted had to dig the Packers out of a bad situation with Mike Sherman as GM, someone's going to have to dig Ted out of this spot right now, and that's got to be good against the staff.
799-1250. More concerned with Aaron Rodgers buying into Matt LaFleur's system or just staying healthy for a full 16 games in the upcoming season? Freems, one thing I wanted to talk about with you. So you're pretty high on the Chicago Bears. So if you were to throw down some money on who's winning the NFC North, they're your pick?
I'd still go with them as the defending champs. I don't think the division is great by any means, but yeah, I'd still pick them.
Man, see, that's where I disagree. I think that the Bears, just by losing Vic Fangio, I think that may be the biggest loss going into the season. I know a lot of people in Chicago, a lot of my buddies are calling me crazy. I think that he was more important. He is the Aaron Rodgers stopper. We've seen it all the way from the San Francisco days. Like, he's the one guy that can contain Aaron Rodgers. I think Fangio is going to be a huge loss. Mm-hmm. I'm still not sold on Mitch Trubisky, and I know that he had a Pro Bowl season, and he took care of the football, but if I'm a Chicago Bears fan, and Mitch Trubisky's my quarterback, and I know they're pretty high on him because he took him to the playoffs, but all I'm thinking about, man, we could have had Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, and we traded up for Mitch Trubisky?
But didn't you yourself say when they got Khalil Mack?
Well, yeah, that's huge.
Okay, well, they still got Khalil Mack, don't they?
They still have Khalil Mack.
So then why would they take a step back
because
in your book?
Because, okay, in the NFL, historically, the healthiest team with the best offensive and defensive line, the best team in the trenches that stays healthy is my pick every single season. The Bears stayed healthy all year last year. I just don't see it happening again. I think there's going to be injuries. I think the defense is going to take a step back.
But it's tough to predict the injuries.
You got Clinton Dix in the secondary.
It's tough to predict. It's tough to predict the injuries. And, yeah, injuries have
hurt. If you're a Packer fan. We have 14 of them before week one.
Well, then, okay, then if you're going to do that, then the Packers aren't going to be better than the Bears. If you want to predict injuries, then you would say, the Packers are going to be decimated by injuries. They will not be able to stack up with the Bears again.
But now they actually have depth because they went out and signed free agents, and they did a pretty solid job. I mean, I know everybody wasn't sold on the Gary pick. I think everybody's pretty high on Savage. But once again, it's going to take 2 to 3 years before we know what any of these guys are. There's a good chance those guys aren't even getting run. And that's what I love. Now guys that haven't been doing jack-you-know-what actually have to go out there and earn their jobs. Like, that's why Josh Jones wants out. Now he's like, oh, man, I actually have some competition for this spot. He couldn't get on the field when there was no one. Kentrell Bryce with was his competition. We don't have to rely on Kentrell Bryce anymore. The Packers don't. That's why I'm high going into this season. The other thing is I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a monster year. I think he was more injured than we thought last season. The problems with McCarthy were obviously a huge issue. Also, why don't we ever talk about this? He lost all of his red zone threats. Like Aaron Rodgers, they bring over Jimmy Graham to be this big red zone threat, and he was awful. He was playing one-handed. He was half-assing it every single time he stepped on the field. Jordy Nelson was a bigger loss than people
thought. So who's the red zone threat this year?
It's going to have to be Jim. I'm with Bart. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on the Jimmy Graham comeback
tour. But you just said, though, he half-assed it.
He was awful
last year. So you think he's going to bounce back?
I think he's going to have to. I think he's going to have to in LaFleur. I don't think there was any accountability. I'm buying that. McCarthy was getting massages during practice for the first 25 minutes. I don't think there was any accountability, including with the coaching staff. I think now if Jimmy Graham goes out there and half-asses it, that he's going to go right over to the sideline, and he's not going to get any time. He wants to play. Jimmy Graham wants to win. I think that we get this false narrative that these guys just want to collect a paycheck and none of them care about winning. But, they do, though.
But, I mean, I think we saw, and I wanted the Graham signing. I thought he still had something left, but maybe everybody was right on that Graham, his better days were in New Orleans. He didn't have a great career in Seattle, and that the tank is on empty with that guy.
Well, what I hated about the Graham pickup was you'd cut ties with Jordy Nelson because of age and because of his better days being behind him, right? So if you're going to cut Jordy Nelson, bring in a 24, 25-year-old red zone weapon, not a guy the same age with just as many injuries. That was my problem with the Jimmy Graham signing. I mean, but just throughout the years, like the guys, that's my point about Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he had that bad of a season. I think that he was hurt, and I think he lost all the guys that he trusted, especially in the red zone. There's no more James Jones anymore. Jordy's gone. He always knew where those guys were going to be. Cobb was banged up throughout the season. So, yeah, I think that's the other thing. Rodgers is going to have to learn to trust these young receivers, these second-year receivers now. Graham's going to have to stay healthy. Devontae Adams is going to have to stay healthy. So you're right. There's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, there is. I mean, that's a ton, man. I mean, they get 12 wins. 2007, they won 13 games. Nobody expected that to happen.
Right.
But this is a bounce back. I think they're going to be a 9. I don't see them having a losing season. I would not be surprised if they did. But 9 wins. I think 9 wins is the top for these guys. And I just think that they're going to need a year to gel under the new head coach. And, we'll see if the offensive line, how much the offensive line and those receivers. I mean, there's so many ifs on this team. There are so many ifs that you need to get the 12 wins.
I agree, but I think another reason I'm so high on them is pressure, because I just feel like Gutekunst, you just said it, Ted Thompson should have been gone 4 years ago.
Yes.
Gutekunst now, he has about 3 to 4 years to make his impact, or he's going to be looking for a new line of work. So you can't really start year one with a losing season. You have to show improvement.
Sure.
8-8 or 9-7. If he goes 6-10, he's on the hot seat to start next year if he makes it.
He's got no control over that, though. He's got only so much he can control, put it that way.
Everybody's playing for their jobs this year.
Yes, of course.
7-9-9-12-50.
He can't will these guys to 11 wins, 12 wins. He's going to go out there as a first-year coach. It's going to be a learning curve for him. And, there's other guys on this team that, I mean, the receiving core, the offensive line, the running backs, are they going to stay healthy?
Right.
The best part about this team, I like the defensive line. But the secondary, I think everybody loves Alexander. We all agree that's going to be that turned out to be a great first-round pick.
Yeah.
All right? Now, the guy next to him, Kevin King, I think we got a lot of question marks. Now,
and Josh Jackson.
Was that?
Oh, I was going to say King and Josh Jackson. I don't know anything about right now.
Yeah. And Jackson out of Iowa, he's got to have a big bounce back year this year.
I agree. I'm just glad that you don't have to rely on Tremont Williams anymore. Like, I never need to see 37-year-old Tremont Williams returning punts ever again. Let's go out to West Dallas, talk to KJ. KJ, what's up today, man?
Hey, KJ.
Aloha, Freeves. Aloha. Hey, how you doing? Doing a great job, by the way.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, man. Listen, I agree with Chuck on this, with Freemsy. It's going to be a learning curve, I believe, for the Packers going into the first season with this new head coach. I think a huge thing that people aren't really considering right now is the health of David Bakhtiari. I mean, who's going to fill in for that guy at left tackle if he goes down? They don't really have a solid left tackle that can go in. I mean, they can mix and match. They can do all these things. But that's going to be huge for the health of Aaron Rodgers. If Bakhtiari can stay healthy, I think there'll be maybe an 8 or 9 win team going into this season. I don't see them winning 12 games. I really don't. That would really be like Freem said, he would probably be the coach of the year.
Yep.
In the NFL. Yeah. If that happens.
And the guy backing up Bakhtiari is Jason Spriggs. I don't think anybody's excited about him.
No.
And the backup guys, like the guys who are backing up on the offensive line, Billy Turner, okay, journeyman, basically.
Cole Madison, baby.
Who hasn't played a down in the NFL. played a down in the NFL. Brian Bulaga, another guy who's got some health concerns.
Yeah, and the other thing is Rodgers really going to buy into this new system? You know, it's hard for a leopard to change its spots, you know what I mean? And he's used to doing things the way he's been doing it all his career in Green Bay, and he's going to have to honestly buy into this new system of being able to hand off the ball and not having that full autonomy behind the, you know, at the line of scrimmage to change plays whenever he wants to. So we'll see what happens going forward, but I'm looking at maybe 9 wins, guys.
Yeah, 9 wins.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, KJ.
They're going to be horrible. They're not going to go 4-12. They're not going to be 2005 horrible.
Oh, that would be such a long year, especially going up to all the games and having to spend every Monday with Bart and the Aaron Rodgers hate train. 799-1250. You could also tweet us at 105.7 FM, the fan, like Stephen Ring did. Danger McNasty says, I'm with you, Horvey. The Pack will make the playoffs this year. However, I'm predicting 10-6 to 11-5, though. So some people jumping on the playoff train, but the 12 wins a little much.
I'm going to read a tweet here. It says, Freem's fans number one. Freem's, you are totally right. Horvat, you're insane.
Yeah.
No, wait, that's not what it says.
Who did that one come from? Your son? Wait, actually, you know what, Freem's, with Father's Day yesterday, and I want to throw this out there, too. We actually have a shot at some Summerfest tickets. Freem's loves Summerfest. I love Summerfest.
Is summer coming, by the way?
No, it's never coming.
Man alive. I feel like we got all these great golf courses that we're wasting. We got the best golf courses, man. We got terrific golf in this state. Well, we only get like 2 months out of it now because of this horrible weather. I mean, there wasn't golfing weather this past weekend.
I'm confident summer is around the corner, and you could win some Summerfest tickets. All you got to do, how did you spend your Father's Day? Best answer will win the tickets, and just make sure to use that hashtag CWTickets. I'm glad you brought up summer and the weather and a little golf, Freem's, because when we come back, I got something to say about that. We're with you till 10 a.m. It's Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM.
It was special. I never let myself get ahead, and I never really thought the tournament was over. So once that went in, it all kind of came out of me. It was special to finish it off here at Pebble Beach.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. Ryan Horvath alongside with Chuck Freeman filling in today for Bart Winkler. He'll be back tomorrow. We just heard from Gary Woodland, who won the 119th U.S. Open yesterday by 3 strokes over Brooks Koepka. Woodland, 35 years old, he made a long birdie putt on 18 to shoot a 2-under 69 on the final day, finishes 13-under for the tournament, and becomes the first player, makes sure that Brooks Koepka won't be the first player since Willie Anderson to win 3 consecutive U.S. Opens. Freem's, Woodland looked good yesterday at 35, wins his first major, one of the good guys on the tour, so good to see. What wasn't good to see is you wanted to get on the course yourself yesterday, but the weather this weekend preventing you.
I mean, I think golf, it should be at least 65 degrees. But if it's windy and 55, I mean, the wind plays a big part of it. If it's wind, if I guess if it's calm and it's like 60 out, it's okay. But if it's windy and 60, it's brutal being out there, man. I mean, some of these, it was like 15, 20 degree winds yesterday, and I was like, we're not going to go golfing. Because why get out there and you're freezing your ass off? I mean, you got to wear gloves when you're playing golf. That's not fun. But again, we have such great golf courses. I feel like many of our courses here in the state haven't had a chance to be used on a regular basis because the weather has been so crappy.
Right.
And it's hurt the golf business because, yeah, I mean, if you look, Golf Digest and these people who rank golf courses, golf states, Wisconsin is always ranked as one of the best states in America to golf. But it's just underutilized because there's so little time to golf here. And I think this weather that we've had here we are, June 17th, I mean, you probably can name two or three days now where we've had decent golfing weather. All right, maybe two or three days. We haven't had an 80-degree day yet at all. If you have a swimming pool, I mean, you couldn't even swim.
Hey, save yourself some money. Don't even get it set up this year.
Why even have a swimming pool in your backyard anymore? Right. Or live in an apartment complex that's got a pool? Hell, you can't even go swimming anymore.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating. I got buddies that live in Arizona. So then when they come to town, that's what I was getting into. I can't even golf anymore because I just get frustrated because I'm the worst golfer out of the group of my friends because everybody moved to the West Coast. They're in Florida, and they're playing every single day. Mm-hmm. I can't get on the course at all. It never works out. If it is a 90-degree day, the Brewers are playing a day game on a Thursday, or it's, you know, something's going on. So it just hasn't really worked out, and I don't know that we're going to get summer. But eventually it will be here. Summerfest will be here, and we have your chance at tickets. All you got to do is tweet us with the hashtag CWTickets. Let us know how you spent your Father's Day. So what did you end up doing? You went up to Lambeau Field.
Yeah, we went to the Packer Hall of Fame. My first time at the Packer Hall of Fame. And if you've never been there, you got to go. It's outstanding. You just kind of take it at your own pace. There's no tour guide. You just kind of walk through. And, you know, you just go there, and I do it two or three times. We did it Sunday and went through and browsed through all of the stuff, got a good portion of it, okay? And now I want to go back a second time and take an even a more intense look. And I want to get to the Baseball Hall of Fame sometime in Cooperstown. I never have. I want to go there. But that's like an all-day thing.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have multiple times to go back to Cooperstown. But, like, for the Packer Hall of Fame, go through it and then go through it, like, maybe a year or a couple of weeks later. Do it again. Because there's a lot of stuff in there I feel I didn't really get to because it's just the way it is. You go through it. It's like seeing a movie. If you see a movie a second time, you get a full grasp of the movie. You have some certain parts that you maybe glazed over the first time, you see a second time. Same thing with walking to the Packer Hall of Fame. The second time through, you might have missed some of the things you missed the first time.
Maybe do yourself a favor and go check out the Hall of Fame and the tour next season.
What'd you do?
After win number 13. I went to breakfast at Blue Egg in the morning, which
was
good.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been there, but I there's two of them now.
That was usually, I go to brunch when I do go out to breakfast. I go to the Cheesecake Factory. I'm pretty boring. They have chicken and waffles, so I do that. Wanted to switch it up a little bit yesterday. Got the steak and eggs. Had a good breakfast with my son. He's 5 years old, and my wife. And then I went home, and I watched sports all day. I watched golf on TV1. TV2, I had the College World Series. Mm-hmm. I'm a Florida State fan. They had a big win the other night. And I also had on yesterday baseball. Obviously, I watched the Brewers. I watched the Cardinals, and I watched the Cubs. So I watched sports all day long.
My kid on Saturday, at first, he didn't want to golf. He said, "Dada, let's watch the Brewer game."
Yeah, smart man.
But we ended up doing both. We ended up golfing and then catching the end of the Brewer game. But, we were golfing.
Bad decision on Saturday.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, just a horrible, horrible ending of that Brewer game. But, yeah, just it was not the weather was awful for golfing.
And not only was the weather awful, I didn't feel like it was Father's Day weekend. Usually Father's Day, I kind of have the same tradition. Well, first off, my dad's in Florida right now. He took my sister and my stepmom. They're all in Disney. So I didn't even spend time with my dad. Didn't see my grandpa. My other grandpa passed away last year. So it was kind of a different feeling already. And then usually Father's Day, yeah, we wake up, we go golfing. It's nice out, so then you come back, you grill out a couple steaks. Couldn't even do that unless mm-hmm. I wanted to put the grill in the garage.
Oh, no. There's never a bad time to grill out, Horvy.
Especially with Robert's Meats, and you throw
absolutely.
Those ribs on a stick.
No.
You're right.
We grilled out Saturday night.
You're right. But for me, it's kind of a pain in the ass, because for the first time...
We had the burgers over at Robert's on Saturday night.
I don't have a home anymore, though. So when I was in Iowa, I bought a house. When, you know, my first job in the business, we had a house because cost of living is so cheap. You move to Milwaukee and you're in the city, I can't afford a house, so I live in an apartment. So for me to grill, I actually can't put my grill like
on
my
property. Up to Lamira. You can buy a house up in Lamira. There's plenty of houses up there.
I got to walk like a half a mile just to use my grill in the garage. So it ends up being kind of a pain in the ass. Then I'm carrying the food back and forth. So I didn't grill, didn't have the chance to golf. It was cold. It was rainy. So I sat inside and watched TV. So it didn't even feel like Father's Day. Mm-hmm. And then the worst feeling of all, Father's Day usually comes 7 p.m., 7:30, 8 p.m. I'm watching the NBA Finals. We should have had a Game 7. I think of all the awesome Father's Day memories, like Jordan winning that first title back after his dad died. On Father's Day, we had nothing. We had the College World Series in golf. The Brewers were already over. So
we had the U.S. Open.
Yeah, we had the U.S. So that's what I said. Golf.
Oh yeah, U.S. Open.
We
that
had
was
golf, right?
But
not the U.S. Same as the NBA Finals though.
But yeah, Sunday. But I mean, the golf went into the prime time, so I was good. I mean, the U.S. Open always falls on Father's Day. The finals, the last round of the U.S. Open, always on Father's Day. I love it, man. Yeah, I wish the weather was better this weekend. It's just, you know, here we are, the 17th of June, and I don't even think we got summer started. But once summer gets to Milwaukee and Wisconsin, I mean, it's fantastic. But, I mean, going up this, we're up in Green Bay, and, you know, we had the heat on in the condo up
there. I know.
We had the heat on Saturday night. It was so cold.
Yeah, my wife was like, it's winter. It's winter.
Yeah.
Saturday night, actually, it was kind of cool because one of my buddies I went to high school with, played high school football with, he lives here now. He's the GM, I should say, of four different McDonald's, including the one over on West Dallas. So I forgot to tell you, I got a bunch of coupons for you.
Did you bring some food in?
I did. I got the coupons, not the actual
coupons.
Food.
Okay.
Bunch
okay.
of McChickens.
Okay.
So
the ones that you used to get in a stocking for like the dollar offs?
No, actually all free. Like he was like, he was like, give these out to your listeners. And I was like, I don't know if we can do that, buddy.
Yeah.
But so he just moved out here. He's got a huge house. He's got a bunch of money and a lot of things to play with. So I went over to his house. So now I got a buddy out here. So it was kind of nice. 105.7 FM, The Fan. You could tweet us there. I have to read this one. It comes from Brian. He said, this Packers take is going to have Horvat back to producing by the end of the show. This is a talent void team with a new head coach and an aging quarterback. 8 wins would be a great season. So Brian thinks I'll be back producing the show, which I will because Bart's back tomorrow. So even if the Packers go 16-0, I'm right back to the...
But I got load management Thursday and Friday, so you're back here again.
You
are, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to say Packers 16-0 just to really be a smart
I got a little
ass.
Load management trip up to Eau Claire this weekend.
Yeah, what do you got planned?
Yeah, we're going to go golfing up there. Hang out. That's we both went to college up in Eau Claire, so we always go up to Eau Claire. Her daughter goes to college at Eau Claire, so we go up to see her, have dinner with her, and a chance to golf at Wild Ridge up there a few times, probably 3 times.
Never been.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Eau Claire. Yeah, I mean, just the weather away from the lake, the weather, it seems like it's always warmer over there, too, this time of the year. It's always warmer over there, about 10 degrees warmer. So looking forward to getting it. We always do it like the third weekend of June, go out that way.
Golf's the one sport where, like, I don't want to go out and play softball at 32 years old. I really don't anymore. My softball days are just over.
At 32, you can still play.
I could still play. I just don't want to do it anymore.
I stopped it when I was 37.
I like playing pickup hoops, but I like going half court now. I don't even like running full court really anymore. But golf is the one sport where I want to be on the course. I don't want to be sit back. I don't want to sit back and watch. Although now I feel like golf is better than ever. Would you agree with me? Like, look at yesterday as a great example. Gary Woodland, 35 years old, wins his first major, right? I mean, he's always right there.
Sure.
Brooks Koepka had a shot to win his third in a row. Justin Rose, 2013 U.S. champion, right in the running. You know, Rory, he was in contention. Tiger played a little bit better. I feel like golf right now is better than it's ever been. Would you agree? Like, we don't even talk about Jordan Spieth anymore.
It is. Dustin was disappointing over the weekend. Dustin Johnson.
Yeah,
he was the favorite to win the U.S. Open, and you barely saw him on TV. I think so. But, you know, I wish, like yesterday, all the stars would have been up on top.
Mm-hmm.
But you had Gary Woodland. Gary Woodland's a faceless guy.
Nice
right?
dude, but yeah, faceless.
But nobody's really excited to watch Gary Woodland, even though he's a first-time U.S. Open winner. Nobody was, and he's from America, and nobody's excited to see Gary Woodland hold off the lead. I think the intrigue was there. I think America was pulling for Brooks Koepka to win 3 in a row.
They were. Didn't everybody just hate Koepka last year?
Yeah, well, here's the thing is, Koepka doesn't come across as very personable or personality.
He's arrogant a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think fans really have warmed up to him at all.
I watched him on Faraday. It was a good interview, though.
And how was that?
It was really good.
I love Faraday.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. He's dropping F-bombs and they're beeping it. I like Faraday because I don't think there will ever be another Faraday. Like, he marches to the beat of his own drum and does things the way that he wants to.
It's a gimmick. Let him. I mean, Faraday's got a gimmick there.
But
that's
the interview. The interview was good. It was just two big egos like colliding. And
yeah.
I became a Koepka fan. I didn't love him. I root for greatness, though. Like, if you could win three straight U.S. Opens,
I'm
rooting for it. Tiger Woods, I've already been over the story. I tried to get his autograph one time when he was on the putting green, and he pretty much told me to go F myself. And so, like,
What?
Yeah, so Woods will not, he doesn't even want you looking at him. I was at the, It was at Cog Hill, which was the Western Open at the time,
mm-hmm.
in Lamont, Illinois.
Okay.
And so I went to the tournament, and I was a big Justin Leonard fan, but obviously at the time everybody loved Tiger Woods, so I was going to follow Leonard, but Woods was in the lead. It was Sunday, so I was like, I'm going to go try to get Tiger's autograph. And I think he was on the driving range, actually, or he was putting. I can't remember. And I went up to him, and I was like, Mr. Woods, and he just looked over at me, and he was like, get this kid the F away. And then, you know, some of, like, Vijay Singh, like, signed for me.
Yeah, but they're on some of those guys, though.
Leave him alone, right.
Yeah, they're on the putting green or on the course. They're focused. If you watch Tiger walk through the stands, and you walk through the crowd and fans are chanting his name, he's focused. He doesn't hear any of that stuff. He's walking right to his hole. And he's a focused guy. So I don't put that. I think he handles the media well. I've seen him with fans before. I don't have any problem with Tiger.
No, I don't have any problem.
I've seen him sign autographs up at the PGA and at Whistling Straits. I've seen him do that before.
Like I said, Jordan did the same thing. Those guys are just wired differently. The Kobe Bryants, the Michael Jordan, the Tiger Woods. Like, to be that great,
mm-hmm.
you have to be focused.
Yeah.
You can't be like Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving and signing autographs and eating chicken tenders on the bench. You have to be focused. We still got one more hour to go here. Chuck and Winkler with Bart. Taking a day off for load management. When we come back, why?
And you are going to be back for the final hour, regardless of what that tweeter said right there, right?
Yeah. Packers 16-0. When we come back, I'm a little upset with the USA women's soccer team. I'll tell you why. It's Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM. Bam.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.